it felt like a real worship team. I was singing, only two of them. Wow, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, come back and do some more. Yeah. This is a time mostly for testimonies and praying together, but I think there are some announcements. One is that Grace will be returning for her father's funeral, or to see her, be with her family this coming week. And if you'd like to contribute towards her travel costs, there's a box at the back there. The morning congregation in the morning have already supported in various ways. I don't know who arranged it, but this morning there wasn't meant to be lunch. And there was lunch to support Grace. So someone made lunch, and everything that was given was to support you. So I was very touched by that. And I'm not even going, it's not me. Yeah. But I was touched by the love of our brothers and sisters in there. Because sometimes it does feel like we are the afternoon people, they're the morning people, and we don't meet that much. But I know that Grace spans both sides, and so anyway, that's one thing. Another thing is that on the Easter Sunday is the 20th of April, and so on the 19th of April, the English service congregation will be cooking together, shopping together, cooking together, and usually a large part of that work falls on Fernando's shoulders. His shoulders are broad, he's used to doing work, but he would love support. So please don't wait for him to say, will someone help me? Please, if you are free on the Saturday morning or the Saturday afternoon of the 19th, to go up and tell him today so that
Saturday
he...
Saturday
the 20th. Huh? Saturday the 20th. Oh, sorry, Saturday the 20th and Easter's the 21st. Okay. Yeah, so don't go on the Friday, but on the Saturday. Maybe Saturday morning. Yeah, we're busy working on Friday, that's all. Any other announcements before we go on? I think there's an open-air service will be... Are we having it? We're not doing it. So if you want any afternoon, any open-air service, please join the Japanese congregation in the morning at the end of May, isn't it? At the end of May. Okay, so that's a non-announcement. Okay. Anything else while we're here? No, nothing. Okay. Well, this is time for testimonies. And those songs today were really, I was really blessed. So I just want to say thank you for that. And in the morning, one of the songs we sang, it says like, this is the season for singing. And then on this year, it was saying, in the darkest times, I will sing. And I think that's, so it's not like everything's clear and gone away and all the problems are solved. But even in those times, it is the season for singing. So thank you for that reminder. Anyway, please come up if you have a testimony to share.
Hi, my name is Art. We have a really great church, man. You know, we moved here because of Hiroshi, basically, because he's a hikikomori expert. He's bilingual, and he's just a cool dude. But I've been really blessed by Chris's teaching, and I've been privileged to have Kevin as a mentor. And so I'm really blessed by this church, and it's just so cool when people come here and go, got to think about what church I'm going to go back to, because, you know, my church isn't like this. And so we have a really, really great church, even though it's small. That's just so unimportant to me. I'm glad your sermons are on the internet, Chris, because I think that they're amazing. You have a really good gift for teaching. And Kevin, your last couple sermons have been really good, too, especially on really difficult topics. So I'm really glad to be here. The first day we moved to Hiroshima Ken, we stayed in the cabin in Kita, Hiroshima. The day after that, we went shopping. Maybe I've told this story before, maybe I haven't, but I told it to Micah because we were in the same shopping center. And as we're going out of the shopping center, 73, 75-year-old guy stops us. And he says, "Excuse me, do you have time to listen to my English?" And we said, "Sure, we got time to listen to your English." Guy busts out the entire Amazing Grace. I mean, four verses, right? Since that day, and I told Micah, since that day, we've been here a year. Ain't nobody has said anything to us, you know? But God is so, you know, it was just, well, welcome here. This, you're supposed to be here, you know? I got a lot of troubles. my life is hard. I don't know about your life, but you know, Paul had a lot of troubles too, and he was like, take him away, and God's like, nah, but I'm gonna give you what you need, you know. And so I've just been really blessed to have our friend and counselor just be able to come out and spend a week with us. And then feeling just really low about 2 weeks ago, God sending Danny and Christina to come. It was just an awesome time with them. They're not Christians, but they're very, very spiritual people. And so we can have really great discussions. And we discussed Christianity, and they were so good to Micah, you know, because Europeans are a little bit more touchy-feely. So they're hugging him. We love you, Micah. We love you. And he's, you know, But it was really good. It was really good for me. It was really good for Micah. You know, life's a struggle. We're promised a struggle when we sign up to be Christians. And so, you know, I'm really happy with all the chaos that's come. And I'm really, really hoping to reap the rewards of that. You know, I want to be this patient, slow to anger, wise, unshakable, not unshakable, but not easily shaken person. And I'm still really, really far off from that. But, you know, that's the dream, is like, he's huge, but don't worry, he'll never get mad. It's like, no, it's like, he's huge, be careful. you know, it's been good to have Mike in our house. It's also been, he's really struggling. Basically, he said, I really want to leave. I really want to go to Osaka or go to Kyoto, but I think I should stay here. And so he's saying, you know, but I can't stop thinking what would happen if I leave and go. So we said, you know what? Go. go. Said, he said, I like being here, and I like being your friend, but I don't like your hikikomori program. And I said, I don't have a hikikomori program. You know what? I've never done this before. You know what I have? I have a Micah program. This program isn't for anybody else but you, you know? I didn't make it for a hikikomori. I made it for you because you're Micah, and these are the things I think you need to help you. His biggest, you know, I said, your biggest enemy is yourself. He goes, how about Satan? I'm like, okay, good point. Your biggest enemy is, you know, Satan whispering these lies into your ears. Because, I mean, the kid, you leave him alone 8 hours of the day, 8 hours and 45 minutes, he's looking like whether he's deciding whether to jump off a bridge or not. You know, he's just so komateru, you know? And, you know, I ask him to get up early, and he'll get up at 8:15, but he won't come down until it's time to go. And yesterday he got up at 10, but he didn't come down at 11. I'm like, okay, I'm glad you're getting up and following, like, the rules, but the point of you getting up is to come down so that you're not alone by yourself, because, you know, he's just standing up there worrying. And so it's so difficult because he doesn't think he needs help. And he's gotten to the point where he's so comfortable with us that he's kind of acting, you know, the strange way he used to act in the old place, in his parents' house, you know. He was gone for like 40 minutes yesterday, and I look outside, and he's in front of our neighbor's house. Neighbors he's never met. And I'm like, hey, what do you think that they'd think if they saw somebody that they don't know standing in front of their house? He's like, yeah, I know. So there's a lot. He's so focused on his own problems, he's unaware of the outside. And so I don't know what to pray for, to be honest. Part of me just wants to see him go out and realize how great his needs are. Because we've said, look, as long as we're in Japan, you're welcome to stay here with us. You know, you have a safety net. And he understands that. So I said, go do something crazy. Go move to Osaka, see what happens, you know. Our neighborhood in our town is amazing. He's got job offers. He's got people he can go work with. He's got people that care about him, all right there, you know. So if he does stay, there's a huge support network for him. He's got volunteer opportunities, paid opportunities. He's got people that whose fields he can work with, who he likes to spend time with. And, you know, every day he's butting heads a little bit. Do I have to do this? I'm like, you don't have to do anything. Make your own day up, you know. You don't have to be in this house. You don't have to live here. But, you know, I'm trying to help you get out of your head and do things that are productive. So yeah, please just pray for Micah. I mean, he's constantly regretting, overthinking, and criticizing himself, really. I mean, he's really, really, really hard on himself. And so it's hard to see him. He'll snap out of it. You know, he reacts much better to Darcy than he does to me. And so he needs that female touch. What's that? Mama, yeah. We don't know what else to do except love him, encourage him, and, you know, hope that God needs to do the healing. So pray for Micah. Pray for his mind to slow down. I mean, I'm like, man, I couldn't think that much. You know, I don't like thinking. Not my thing. I let my wife do that. No. Anyway, pray for Micah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Grace, and I will talk to you about two things. First, I want to appreciate our pastors at Saint because of their messages. I don't know about you, but to me, every message that they give usually just comes in season with what I'm going through. And both of them, actually. I remember Kevin Sensei preached when he started teaching from the book of Isaiah about idols. Yeah. I was going through some situation that I didn't know. I had never thought about it as idols. And he preached so well that I just felt God told him to preach about idols so that God can help me to see the idols in my life and confess them. And many other sermons, yeah. And Chris Sensei also. Every message he gave, I don't know about you. I always wonder, did God give this message because of me? You know, I can never explain. Sometimes most of the time I will email him or I will just not because I don't know. It's just so amazing that he will talk about something that I'm actually going through. And one of them was actually very recent and I was so amazed. And you'll be surprised because most of you see me and Joyce and maybe you think I'm a good mother, I'm doing great raising her, but it's really a challenge to me because I'm someone who has a lot of anger. And of course, I don't show it here in the church, but I've been struggling because I get so angry at her over very small things. And then I realize I've never confessed this to someone. So initially, God taught me to start apologizing to her. When I realize I've just got angry over some childish mistake, which is not sin, I could come back probably from job, and then I will tell her, I'm sorry, this morning I did this, and she learned from me also to apologize. But then God went a step higher and told me, actually just getting angry over these issues, it is sin. I didn't even know it is sin. So about 3 weeks ago, that's when God started ministering to me that I can't keep just getting angry and yelling at her, you know. And probably my neighbors know that I yell at her, and God told me, this is sin, so the fact that you apologize to her doesn't mean it is over. You need to expose it to me so that I find the root of it together with you and confess it. So that week, I found a group on Facebook. It's called Risen Motherhood. And just that time, they were talking about anger over children. When, as a mother, you know, you wake up in the morning and you know, I work full time, so I have to leave the house by 8 or something, and Joyce has to cooperate with me, and those are the worst times of the day when I'll be yelling and angry, and on my way to work, I'm just thinking, okay, another angry day, you know. And I just go to work, and I feel so sad because I feel this is what God has given me to take care of, but I'm angry all the time. So then I come back, I apologize to her. So that week, I download an article from this group about anger, and they just categorically specify that anger is sin, especially anger that is just selfish, just making me look like I'm the boss, or you have to listen to me, you have to do everything the way I want. And that same week, that following Sunday, Art stood here and talked about his life, his growing up, and I didn't realize I grew up probably in a similar environment with him. We have loving parents, but they were not there for us. Like my mom, she was a pastor and she was a full-time elementary school teacher. So she employed house managers, house girls who will take care of us because she was away. She would come back from school around 5 and she would go directly to the church. So our relationship with our mom, she was very loving. She provided everything. But she was not there most of the time. And she will actually take care of other people more than us. You know, he explained his story, and then I felt, okay, this is actually me. And that is actually one of the reasons I found it hard to just be there for Joyce. I provide everything for her. But I just find it strange to just play with her. I realized when I come back from work, I just keep telling her I'm tired. You know, when she says, Mom, let's play this, I'm tired. But I provide with her everything she needs. Then I realized, looking at my growing up, this is exactly what I went through. I don't remember anyone ever hugging me as a child. My mother, like, hugged me when I'm already an adult now, you know. So I don't remember that embrace from parents or closeness or just playing with me or just doing anything fun with me. You know, Mom was busy. She's teaching and she's a pastor. And we just don't have time together. But so Art talked that Sunday, and I went home and began to think deeply about it, that even if I didn't experience this love, I can still ask God to help me to show it to my daughter. And the following Sunday is when Pastor Chris was, you know, he sent the message about anger and something, and exactly the points he gave is what I had. I even thought about bringing the paper and showing him, because that's what I had downloaded. It's still in my Bible now, just the week before, from the Risen Motherhood, you know. They're just explaining the things clearly the way he was putting it. What is motivating me to be angry? It's not that she's running on the road, the car will hit her, you know. I'm just shouting because she spilled water on the carpet. Just small things, I get so angry and I shout, and sometimes she cries and I begin to cry also. And God told me that I can be able to overcome this if I lay them before him and be able to realize that it is sin. So I really appreciate our pastors. I don't know about you, but they speak messages that just are in time for me. And God bless you so much for being used by God. Yeah, I was so challenged by that message, because God wants to change my relationship with Joyce, because I really want to nurture her to grow up to know God and to fear God. But I don't have to grow her up the way I grew up. I didn't experience love. You know, you can imagine, I see people hugging their kids, you know, writing all sorts of things on Facebook. And me, I used to find them so hard, you know. Like, I watch it. There's a female, the lady who acted Prayer Warrior, War Room, you know, she has 3 boys. And she's a pastor. I think she's busy or a preacher. But when she talks about how she's arranging blocks with her kids, then I'm wondering, okay, someone is so busy, but they have time to play with their children. I can do that. I can bond with her. So please pray for me over that. It's something slowly by slowly God has been helping me, especially after Chris and say preach the message. Yeah, I knew it's time God wants me to know how to love my child and to forget about how my childhood was, and to know that, I remember the major point he gave is that Jesus absorbed our wrath on the cross. And that's exactly what the Risen Motherhood, the lady on Risen Motherhood, wrote for me. So if Jesus took my anger on my behalf for God, why am I with so much anger towards my child? And it was really a challenge to me. So thank you so much about that. And so many of you are already aware, our dad went to be with the Lord. It's not easy to lose both of your parents, you know. Even though my dad was not close to me, I've shared with you before, the story of our family. Our dad got a second wife, our stepmother, and so he spent most of the time in the other family. He just comes as a visitor in our home, but we still loved him. We still treasured him so much, especially this maybe last 15 years, we've really been close to him. And especially my mom's death made my father come close to God somehow. He's a Quaker. So, you know, I don't know if you guys know about Quakers, but in my country, Quakers are conservative, you know. He wouldn't come to our church. But interestingly, after our mom passed, Dad started coming to her church now. And the members got to know him. He will invite them for home fellowships in our home when he's there, which is, he never did this, you know. So that's why I'm reminded that all things work together for our good. So it's been very hard, and my dad was hospitalized, and I shared with you guys, and it was really strange to us because he had a successful surgery. The surgery went well. He came out of the theater, and his life was good. On Sunday, it just happened that all my siblings were in town where he is, because we all live in different parts of the country, actually, like all over the country. So they just happened to visit him, all of them, on Sunday, and he was so happy, you know, talking with them, taking pictures, enjoying everything. And the doctor actually told them he will discharge him on Monday because they checked every parameter, it was fine. So that was the message I received on Sunday, that Dad will be discharged tomorrow or Tuesday latest. And because he's fine, the parameters are fine, he's been maybe 5 days after surgery, so everything is fine. And so we were hopeful, yeah, but things changed, you know. Was it on Monday or Tuesday? Yeah, Monday. Monday evening, I think. His body changed. He started having cold sweats from nowhere. First, his pressure went up. Then he started sweating. And his body is very cold as from the fridge. And I don't know. Japan is very good. The healthcare system is very good in Japan. But in my country, yeah, the healthcare system is not good. People just make medical errors. And you can't do anything, you know, because our system is not so efficient. So to me, I suspected maybe a medical error with the doctor, yeah, because for 2 days, that is from Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday, he was still cold and he was still sweating. When I asked my brother, what is the doctor saying? He says the doctor says everything is fine in his body, so he doesn't see any problem. But I suspect maybe they were hiding from us, but I cannot judge, I'm not God. But they may have been a medical error they performed and they didn't open up to tell us because they, so far until now, they've not told us actually what caused my father to change. He cannot talk after those 2 days, he cannot eat, he was put back to oxygen and then he's gone. So it's very sad, and initially I thought, okay, I cannot go back to Kenya, I just came and it's expensive, we need like San Juniman with Joyce. So I thought, okay, let me try to talk to my friends, and I thank you so much. People have been so supportive of me because it's just suddenly talking to people and my Japanese friends and even my workmates. My boss is very kind. He already asked the members of the office to contribute some money for me. And so I think we can be able to travel. I asked my friend Diana and her husband to lend me money because I couldn't wait until today to buy the ticket. So I just asked them, please send me money so we can buy tickets. We have friends who've committed to help. We will give you back the money. So tomorrow we will be leaving. We will go to Tokyo. Our flight is 12 a.m. It will be now Tuesday. Yeah. So we'll be going to Tokyo. Please pray for us. Yeah. All my family, especially my siblings, you know, they were there. They saw my dad. And we lost our mom, yeah, just about 2 years ago. So it's very hard, but like today, maybe you saw the song. Thank you for choosing that song of Don Moen, you know. I don't know what he was going through when he wrote this song, but he says, I will sing. And the reason why he says, I will sing is because his word is true. So my situation doesn't change God's word, you know. I was so angry. I was so, you know, I was sending so many messages. I want to talk to the doctor. Blah, 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 blah. And my brother is just saying, Grace, even if we can take legal action, we have so many things we can do, but think about at the end, what are we going to achieve? So let's just, the good thing is my eldest brother, he's a pastor, so he will just preach, you know, just tell you, let's thank God for everything. Let's accept what has happened and, yeah, God has a reason. I remember my mom herself, when she became sick, I have her message recorded because she said this in her church. Because of my sickness, I know that all things work together for good. That's what she said herself. I've never deleted that message. So since that day, I said, okay, God, You have a plan for everything. When you allow things happen, you have a reason. So teach us to just sing, like Don Moen said, even in our darkest hour, even so, it's so difficult, you know. I couldn't sleep that night. Actually, it was on Wednesday night or Tuesday night. Usually I sleep and wake up to read the Bible. So I slept and wake up, and I check my phone, and I see my brother has posted the message. It just happened that this same brother is the one who was with my mom. How strange, in the hospital when she passed. He's the same one who is posting the message, Dad has gone to be with the Lord. Then my sister, is this a confusing misidentity or something? Because they are thinking he's not, he's like confused or he's posting something wrong or so. But later, after a few hours, he confirms it is true. So it's very hard for us as a family. We really trust God to give us strength, especially myself. I live abroad. I live very far from my family. I remember when I went for my brother's wedding in December, I had very little time with my dad. The fact that he stays with the other family, especially that now my mom is not there actually. Most of the time he's just there. So we didn't have much time to talk with him. He's a man full of the wisdom of God. Just somehow he really gives us wise counsel. So just after I came back to Japan and my sister told me, Dad said you didn't tell him you're leaving. Then I realized, actually, I flew without seeing him again. I had visited him, but I didn't see him again. Then I was thinking, God, I hope I'm going to get another opportunity to sit with Dad so we can spend more time with him and talk and talk and talk. But that was not the case. But we thank God for his life and the time we've been. And now he's together with Mom, and we thank God for that. So thank you so much. Keep us in prayers, especially Joyce. She's so tiny. You know, the fastest flight we can get is 20 hours. You can imagine. So we have to. There's no direct flight to Kenya. We have to go to Tokyo, transit somewhere. This time I bought Qatar Airlines, so we'll go to Abu Dhabi. Transit 5 hours or something, then to Kenya. So we'll arrive like almost 24 hours later. But God is good. Just pray for us, for God's strength to travel. So we will have funeral service on this coming Saturday. Thank you so much.
Just ask the ladies to come on up. Okay, let's pray. Father, we are humbled. We know that nothing is in our hands to control or manipulate, but all things are in your hands. And Lord, our responsibility is to let go of our own hearts and put them into your hands as well. So, Father, we grieve and we mourn along with our dear sister Grace at the loss of her father. Lord, we are angry at death. We hate death. And we know that death is not what you have planned. And yet, Lord, here we are. We have only the hope of resurrection out of death. We have only the hope that through Christ we have victory over death. And so with the rest and everything else, we put our hope in you, and we give you our heart, our trust. I will trust in you. We trust only in you and in your plan, in your timing, in your ways. And so, Father, we love Grace. We know that you have your plan for her. She is dear to us, Lord, even closer than our own sisters, Lord. She's close to us. So, Father, we ask that as she goes, that you would send her, Lord, with safety and protection, both her and Joyce. We pray for strength, for endurance, for the flight. And all the more, as she's back in Kenya with her family, we pray for all that is necessary for the grieving process. We pray for provision for all that is necessary for the funeral and all the services surrounding that. We pray for the gospel, Lord, to be preached and proclaimed through this, And Lord, we don't necessarily need answers. We just want peace, grace, comfort from you. And Lord, we know that the answers will come in their time. Father, we thank you for providing for grace in so many ways, financially, materially, emotionally, and most of all, spiritually, both in friendships and relationships and also in family. We thank you for your great provision, and we entrust her to you, and we look forward to receiving her back when she returns. We thank you for this chance and this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, I'm Darcy. And and Grace, thank you for sharing so much of yourself with us. Like, and to me personally, as my sister, like, you just changed my life. So anyway, so thank you for sharing your heart about parenting and your heart about your dad and your childhood and everything today too. That was really sacred. So I also wanted to praise God for how Art's doing right now. I don't know if you noticed, he's lighter. Did you notice he's lighter? I mean, he's still big, but he's lighter. It's been really, really beautiful to see more of his joy come back, and a sense of humor, and like the clown of Art is really coming back. And I think it's just been God's goodness, and like you shared, like sending the right friends and the right prayer warriors at the right time, and just doing this act of mercy. And yeah, but our friends from Spain just really reminded Art of who he's been in the past. We need to remember, like, we must remember the whole way the Lord our God has led us and who we've been in the past too, the parts of us that have been treasures to ourselves, that, like, when life gets hard, we forget those parts of ourselves. And so I think that's also part of my heart's prayer for Micah, is that he would also remember those parts of himself that, like, are already beautiful. Like, we know God has designed him perfectly, but he doesn't know that right now. And there's parts of himself that in those past that he longs for, and we want to reconnect him with those parts. So that maybe that's one of the areas for prayer. Just also with Micah, yeah, I do, I think I get to have a special friendship with him because I'm like the mom, older sister, and I'm also the mom of these two little cute girls, and he really, really loves Yua, and he was joking, like, oh, can you marry her one day? He's like, okay, well, that's maybe weird. Like, I just want to be her uncle. I'm like, you're already her uncle, you know? And she was fussing after waking up from her nap, and Micah was the first one there, and he was even changing her diaper, and in the middle, she made a poo, and he dealt with it. I mean, this is just, like, you can tell, like, this is a great young man. So, and as I was sharing, like, he really wants to leave, and he doesn't think that he should, but we are supporting him if that's what, like, he needs to try. Like, please, please go. One of his concerns, and I think maybe one of his bigger ones, is feeling like he was going to betray us by leaving. And so we very clearly were like, that is not the case. Like, oh my gosh. Like, that's, like, one of the things he's thinking about, right? Like, that's just not even real. But he shared it so we could tell him, nope, no betrayal, you're a family. When you're in our house, you're a family. When you're not in our house, like, you go to Kansai and you make a mistake and you can come back, we come get you, whatever we need to do. So it's good he's getting these things spoken. I just want to offer praise to God for our brother Janelle. Sorry, I don't mean to embarrass you, but we have a treasure in our brother Janelle. And did you know today one of the songs, the fourth song that we sang today, was written by Janelle? I will trust in you. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Nothing is impossible with you. It's a great and beautiful song. And he just, like, puts it in there, and he just offered it out of his heart. The Lord put it there for him to share this song about trusting the Lord and just proclaiming names of God. And I think we've all been kind of hearing that Janelle will need to go back to the Philippines sometime in June. June what? I was hoping for like the end of June. So maybe first or second week of June, Janelle will be completing his work, and he'll be going back to the Philippines with a heart to return, but doesn't know if it can happen with his job, with what he needs financially and what the job's able to provide. So I just want us to pray for Janelle and his future already. Don't want to wait till his last Sunday with us here in this worshiping season. And I just feel today, too, that so many have thanked God for the worship and the song selection today, and just feeling, too, like Janelle and Christian, just the two of them together, could make a full leadership for this church and worship. Like, their spirits are big in the Lord. And we can just really thank God for these brothers. I like talking good about people in front of their faces. I don't want to only do it behind their back. So just want to praise God for Janelle, the encouragement that he has been to me and my family. Megumi talks about Janelle almost every day. She's like, "What? How's Janello?" She looks like, "Janello. How's Janello? What's Janello doing? I want to go to Janello's house. How's Janello?" And so she she can't help herself. So, so I think that it's important for Janelle to know that as well. So just wanted to praise God for some things in the body today. Thank you.